Good morning, and welcome again to Water Dam Church. You may be seated. Well, the Saturday morning men's group has been spending most of the year studying the book of Romans, and we just finished up yesterday. And this is a communion Sunday. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And since Romans gives probably the most thorough explanation of the salvation message of anywhere in the Bible, maybe it'd be helpful to focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ and all he's done for us by reading some words from Romans that have come to be known as the Romans Road. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Let's pray. We praise you, Father, that from the beginning of time, before you even created mankind, you had a plan for people to be able to dwell with you eternally. We praise you for sending your son, Jesus, and for the sacrifice he made to fulfill that plan. May all of our songs and prayers, preaching and fellowship this morning point to all that you have done for us, for your glory. Lord God, we thank you for the splendor of the fall season and the weather that you've given us to enjoy. We thank you for your creation and how it reflects who you are. We ask your presence and peace, Lord, to be with Shelby and her family as her grandma Patricia passed away on Tuesday. We pray that you would be their strength and peace. We continue to lift before you Fred and Becky's great nephew, baby Watson, who's 5 months old and has now been home for a month. We praise you that he's growing and developing and appears to be able to hear. We continue to ask your blessing on his health. We have a few others who are in need of healing. We ask that you be with Andrew, who's suffering from a kidney stone, and Sean, who has gout. Lord, that you would relieve them quickly of their infirmity. We praise you, Lord, that Emily in Germany has had opportunities for deep connections with people during lockdowns, people searching for truth. We pray that that would continue, and that churches in Germany would find ways to reimagine what ministry might look like, including things like home churches. We also ask for more hearts to be drawn to serve in ministry there. Lord, we seek your wisdom and guidance for the Elder Board as they meet on Tuesday and work through the budget for next year. We pray that you'd be with Jack and Melissa as they're away, that they would be renewed and refreshed. And Lord, that you'd be with Dan as he delivers the message this morning. May his words reflect your words as we search the scriptures and seek to apply them to our lives. We also ask your blessing on the offering that will be given as we leave services this morning, that the church would use it wisely to serve our community and places around the world, giving people hope through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, before we get to today's scripture reading, I had a few announcements to make. First, the Human Coalition is raising funds this year through a campaign called the Baby Bottle Blessings. It's an online event primarily as a way to keep everyone safe while supporting local efforts to reach women in need. You can visit the announcement page for the Water Dam Church website and find the link for the donation page. But we've also done this physically in person before, so if you prefer to donate cash, as we've done in the past, there are baby bottles available in the Welcome Center in the church lobby, and you can pick one of those up. All proceeds support the local Pittsburgh pro-life clinic, and your donation provides abortion-minded women facing unplanned pregnancies with free ultrasounds and then continued care throughout their pregnancies. Our campaign is going to go through November 1st. The regional area is going to continue that campaign through November, but ours will end on November 1st, so please have your donations in by then. The Human Coalition thanks you for your prayers and support. The Monday prayer group has resumed in-person meetings. Those occur at noon on every Monday at the church, and all are welcome to join in praying for the body of Christ. Now, the Women's Wednesday morning Women Seeking Wisdom class has also resumed in-person meetings. Those meet on the first and third Wednesdays of each month at 10 a.m. in the church also. And all ladies are welcome to join that. On Sunday, October 25th, there will be a missions team meeting immediately following the second worship service. Anyone interested in missions should attend. Some of the topics to include that will be included in that meeting are the possibility of an international mission in 2021, and also that we're going to develop a global outreach display for the church. And if you have any questions on that, let me know. I'll be your contact person for that. And finally, the church directory is being updated, and this is your last chance to get an update in. If your information has changed or you want to add something, please get that into the church office. Call Marge very soon. And don't forget, if you have any college students, to give us their address. Well, Pastor Jack and Melissa are on vacation, and we would ask your continued prayers for them, that they would find refreshment and renewal while they're away. If you have any questions or concerns in the meantime, he's not going to be back till October 19th. If you have any concerns, you can call Pastor Corey, the church office, or you can talk to any of the board members. Well, in Jack's absence today, Dan Fennell is going to be preaching, and that'll be from Exodus 5. So if you want to turn your Bibles to that passage, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 18. Again, Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or the sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens." The same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, 'Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God.' The heavier work be laid on the men that they may labor at it, and pay no regard to lying words." So the taskmasters and foremen of the people went out and said to the people, "Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get your straw yourselves wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the feast or in the least." So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Complete your work, your daily task each day, as when there was straw." And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not done all of your task of making bricks today and yesterday as in the past? Then the foreman of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, make bricks. Behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. But he said, you are idle. You are idle. That is why you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Go now and work. No straw will be given you, but you must deliver still the same number of bricks. The foreman of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, you shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task each day. They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them as they came out from Pharaoh. And they said to them, the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us stink in the eyes or in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to his people, and you have not delivered your people at all. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's great to be with everybody today. I feel like a Baptist minister right now. I walked down to the other end of the building like four times, and I'm sweating like a pig. So I apologize for that. I'm a little winded, too. I'm not in the shape that I thought I was. So last night, I had the opportunity to spend some time at an event out at South Park called Soberfest. And it was organized by a good friend of mine. His name's Richie Woods. I grew up with him. And it was a great time of celebration for people that are recovering from addiction. And it was just a party. It was a great time. There was food there. There was a food truck. There were speakers. There was lots of laughter. And there was a Van Halen tribute band. It was a party. There was no alcohol, no drugs. It was a good time. It was a safe time. And it was proof that the Spirit of God is still working today. You know, there's all these guys, women there that are recovering from addiction. And I was looking around, and it reminded me of the party that we get to have here every Sunday morning when we get together. And it is like a party for me. I come in here, and even though we have masks on and we can just see the smile through the eyes, like we get together and we laugh and we love on each other, and it's beautiful. But it makes me ache for when our Savior returns and we go to be with him forever, and that is going to be a party, the greatest party of all time. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love, your mercy, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for everybody that makes it possible for, you know, online and the doors to be open, Lord. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. This is all for you, Lord. And we thank you for church leadership. We thank you that Pastor Jack and Melissa can get some time away and refresh, Lord. And we lift up our family that's sick and hurting, Father. We lift up this time, we lift up your word, and Jesus, most of all, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made, because if it wasn't for that, we would not be here right now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. So Kevin said I was probably going to cry today, and I'm going to tell you right now, probably. Yeah, Kevin, thanks a lot. So in 1998, Dr. Stephen Johnson, he wrote a book. It was called Who Moved My Cheese? And it sold over 26 million copies. It was translated in 37 different languages. And it's considered an all-time bestseller when it comes to business books. And it's a modern-day parable. And the premise of the book is this. There's four characters, and they live in a maze. And within that maze is this giant block of cheese. And they go to the block of cheese, and they eat from that cheese. Well, it's not an everlasting block of cheese, so after time, you know, they eat all the cheese, and then it goes away. And the depiction throughout the book is, how do these four characters handle that change? And the business world uses that book for their employees because, you know, business is in constant change, it's in constant flux. and it's there to help the employees as these changes happen. So you can either embrace the change, you can, you know, look around you and see how other people react to the change and take in that data, and then you could make your own decision from there. You can try to predict what's going to be coming down before the change so you can adapt that way. Or you can kind of, you know, just roll up in a ball and hide and just totally, you know, resist the change. But we all know something. We all know that change is real. It's inevitable. And it's constant. And I'm calling this message, Who Moved My Hay? Because in chapter 5, we see that there's a lot of change that's going on with the Israelites. And a lot of it's kind of like from a job perspective, you know, what's going on with their daily work. But we're going to see something that they do or don't do that will help us today. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at these passages the way that they are from a contextual standpoint. So the way that it was written and who it was written to and what was going on, we'll look at that. We're going to look at how the folks at Jesus's time, how that's very similar, and we're going to compare it to that. And then we're going to see how we can apply it in our lives. So does that sound like a plan? All right, didn't cry yet, Kevin. So let's look at this from a 30,000-foot view. I'm going to paraphrase a lot, so forgive me. But when we look at this, we're looking at Egypt, which is a world power at this time. It's a superpower. And you have Pharaoh, who is the leader of the superpower. And not only is he the ruler of Egypt, but he's also considered a god. So he's like a deity. So he's like a super, super leader. In this account here, the timing of the account, and when we look at the Charlton Heston movie, The Ten Commandments, if I remember correctly, they looked like the stones that they were building were for the pyramids. But the pyramids would have already been made by now. The Sphinx would have already been made way beyond King Tut's time. So the job of the Israelites at the time was to make bricks, and these bricks would have been used for roads and buildings. So you have Pharaoh, who thinks he's a god, in charge of everything. And through the sovereignty of our God, you have Moses, who was saved out of the Nile, you know, by Pharaoh's daughter. So he knew Pharaoh very well. When he came back to Egypt, he knew him very well. He grew up in the same house. Now, it wasn't the same Pharaoh that when Moses was saved. It was a different Pharaoh at the time, but he would have known what was going on. Moses grew up in that house, and we don't know this, but he may have been in line to be a Pharaoh himself. So he understood the ins and outs, which was probably one of the reasons why he was so reluctant when God called him, because he probably didn't want to go back and see his family. So when we look at verse 2, and we see where Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. Moreover, I will not let Israel go." And we read that today, and we see this, and we're like, okay, Pharaoh is not being very respectful to God. And we might even think that Pharaoh doesn't even believe who God is. And it's not all that. And what I mean by that is this. There were so many gods back then. Pharaoh thinking that he was one himself. They had a god for every occasion. You know, they had Ra was the sun god. They had the rain. The Nile itself was a god. They had all these gods, but they had never heard of the Hebrew God. So when Pharaoh says, "Who is this God? I've never heard of him," what he was saying was, "I don't know this God that you're talking about. I've never heard of him. Therefore, I'm not going to let you go." And if you look at it logistically, some accounts have 2.5 up to 5 million Israelites lived at this time in Egypt. And my Bible has a footnote that says that there may have been more Hebrews in Egypt than there were Egyptians at the time. So the thought of this, so picture this. You go into your boss's office and you say, hey, we're all taking off the next 3 days. And your boss is going to be like, no, you know, you're crazy. You're not all leaving. And that's kind of what was going through Pharaoh's mind. Pharaoh's thinking, first off, I don't even know the God that you're talking about. And if you think I'm going to let 2.5 million people leave here, go out, not do work, these bricks need made. Like, think about when you left to come to church today. I don't know about you, but when we try to get out of the house with two kids, it could get a little chaotic. And if you forget your cell phone, forget about it, because you're turning around and you're going to get it. So if you have 2.5 million people that you're trying to get out and back, it logistically, it's a nightmare. So that Pharaoh's like, listen, you're not going. Not only are you not going, but I think you have too much free time on your hands. So now I'm going to make life a little harder for you. When I was younger, I worked at a pizza shop and I worked in a movie theater. And when we didn't have customers, I did one thing. And can you guess the one thing that I did every time there wasn't anybody in the shop? No, I didn't. I did eat a lot of pizza and popcorn. But you clean. When there's no customers around, you clean. And manager says, hey, you got time to lean. You have time to clean. So Pharaoh's like, listen, you guys are lazy. You think you have all this time to go away for 3 days, and I got to keep you guys down because there's more of you than there are of me, and I can't let you guys get, you know, ahead of us. So now I'm going to make it a little harder on you. Now, the key ingredient that you need for these bricks that you have to make, I'm taking that away. You're going to have to find that on your own. So not only is he making their lives just incredibly difficult, but he takes away what they need most for the job that they have to do, the task that they have to do at hand. So you see, he took what was difficult, what was a hard situation, and made their burdens worse, and it made them grumble more. It made them complain more. And then when we jump down to verse 12, you'll see we're talking about the time of the foreman here. And the foreman of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not done all your tasks of making bricks today and yesterday as in the past? So this taskmaster, the foreman, he was Jewish. He was an Israelite. He was an Israelite that was put, you know, in charge. He was like the middleman between Pharaoh, the government, and, you know, the Israelite people. But he was still an Israelite. So now he's getting beat because his people can't keep up with the burden that Pharaoh put on them. Because they didn't have straw. They had to go through the entire country to find straw. So let's think about something here. So you, let's imagine that you are one of 2.5 million people, 2.5 million Israelites. You've been enslaved your whole life in a country that's not yours. You're working your hard labor to a leader who thinks there's too many of you, so he just has to keep putting you down and causing more and more strife. And then there's this guy named Moses who comes along, who hasn't even lived in your neighborhood for 40 years. He and his brother, they start talking about this God that you're really not that familiar with. Because, you know, Moses said to God, who shall I tell them you are? Who should I said sent me? And they didn't know who God was. So they're talking to Pharaoh, and every time they talk to Pharaoh, the result is more and more burdens to them. So it got to the point that he made their life absolutely miserable. Now, back then, obviously, they didn't have Netflix, they didn't have social media, they were storytellers. So I can only imagine the kids sitting around the, you know, the fire, and they say, "Hey, Pap, tell us the story about that little baby that got saved out of the Nile." And he went, but he got saved by Pharaoh's daughter, and he went and he lived with Pharaoh in the castle, in the empire. He was part of that. And tell us about how he, you know, threw it all away and ran away. Tell us about that guy. And that was probably a story that they told. Much like, you know, we hear about those people that hit the lottery and they win millions and millions of dollars. And then you find out that, you know, when everything's said and done, they end up losing millions and millions of dollars. And you're like, how did you let that slip through your fingers? You know, you had the world at your fingertips. How did you let that happen? So I can only imagine that would have happened with it at that time, because all they did was tell stories with each other. So throughout all of this, throughout all of the added pressure, added work, just added burdens that Pharaoh is putting on the Israelites, the one thing that we see in this chapter, well, actually the one thing that we don't see in this chapter, is we don't see the Jewish people praying to God. And we read about their grumbling and their complaining. And I totally can understand that. I can't even imagine the life that they live. So you can understand the grumbling to a point. But we don't read about them saying, "Oh Lord, you know, let your will be done. I don't understand what's going on right now. I don't know why I'm going through this, why we've been put in this situation, but you are in control." We don't read about that at all. And in verse 22, you see even Moses starts grumbling. Moses turned to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you even send me?" So Moses is saying, why are you doing evil to God? And in 23, he even says in verse 23, he says, "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." And that's Moses talking to God. "You have not even delivered your people at all." So Moses is blaming God for the misfortunes that they're going through. So it's brutal. It's a brutal time. So let's compare what was going on at Jesus' time to what was going on then. Because there's a lot of similarities. So here we are, the Jewish people, they find themselves enslaved again, but this time it's in their own country. They're enslaved by another world power. So instead of it being Egypt, they're being enslaved by Rome. Instead of it being a Pharaoh, they're being enslaved by a Caesar. Instead of being required to make bricks, they're required to pay taxes. And when Caesar says, "Hey, it looks like you have a little extra money, let's tax you a little more." Or, "Hey, you have a little free time. Maybe you need to be working a little more. Maybe we should tax you a little more." Sounds a little familiar. Nothing new under the sun, right? So instead of having a foreman being the middleman between the government and the people, now you have a Herod. Now you have a tax collector like Apostle Matthew, and now you have Zacchaeus being that middleman. So you still had the Jewish people who were kind of like, you know, above everybody else, who had to either deliver extremely bad news or make a profit off of your people. So the Jewish people at this time are desperate, just as desperate as they were when they were back in Egypt. And a lot of them couldn't see the mighty works that Jesus was doing then, just as they couldn't see the mighty works that God was doing. When Pilate, when Jesus was going to be crucified. Thank you, Kevin. And Pilate says to them, here's your king. And they said, we have no king but Caesar. They totally turned their back on Christ. And Moses is, he's a foreshadower of Christ. And the Jewish people, we see, were starting to turn their back on Moses because they didn't believe. They didn't have faith. You know, they needed salvation. They needed salvation in Egypt. They needed salvation when Jesus was standing in front of them. And we need salvation today. So again, nothing new under the sun. So how do we apply this today when somebody moves your cheese or somebody steals your hay or your straw? You know, we have Jesus, right? So everything's perfect. Our lives are absolutely perfect because we have Jesus. And I say this time and time again. My life is harder today than it was when I wasn't saved because I have the burdens of my brothers and sisters. It was so much easier when you don't care about yourself. So last night I'm at Soberfest. I'm standing there with a bunch of guys who are throwing their lives away. And I was with them, throwing your life away day after day, night after night, living for yourself. And now I cared about other people, but I could care less about them at the same time. If it was all about me. And I'm standing there and I'm like, praise God. Praise God for the work that he's doing right here amongst all these people. Because all these people needed a savior. Just like the people in Egypt did. Just like the people at Jesus' time. And I think to myself, the burdens that you're having, when you can't get the straw, you need straw. I'm like, hey, I'm going to help you find that straw. We're going to get that straw together because I love you. And not only are we going to get the straw, but when we're done with the straw, we're going to build some bricks. And we're going to make some roads and we're going to do some mighty things. And I love that. And I will do that for you. But what happens when that burden isn't just about getting straw? Because sometimes it's about learning about a sickness that you have. It's a big burden. It's not about a job. It's about something that's really serious. When that cheese gets moved, or that hay gets removed, or when, you know, somebody that you love passes away, what do you do when that happens? Or when you get one more bill and you're like, I can't take one more bill. You know, the roof's leaking, the brakes need done on the car, the kids need braces, you name it. You can't take, you're like, Jesus, I cannot take one more thing. You know, what do we do when these things happen? You know, what can we learn from the Jewish people in chapter 5? And what can we learn about what Jesus teaches us in the Gospels? In John 16:33, and this is during the Last Supper. This is when he's wrapping up the end of the Last Supper, and he's explained to them who he is and why he's come. And he talks about, you know, the end of the world. He talks about everything. He says this. He says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus is saying, there's going to be trouble. This is going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy, but I got this. He's saying, I got you. I have you in my hand. And people will say, Dan, that sounds great, but you're not living what I'm living. You're not going through what I'm going through. And they're right. There's a lot of things that I haven't had to experience. And there's people in this room that have gone through things that I haven't had to go through. But all I have is the Word of God and the Word of my Lord and Savior. And Jesus doesn't sugarcoat anything. He does not sugarcoat anything. And when change comes, and when somebody moves your cheese, or somebody takes your hay or your straw, you can either roll up in a ball and hide, or you can have faith in Jesus Christ, who went through way more than I ever will. And he did it for me. So you can put all your burdens on him and cry out to him, because he will take care of you, whether it's in this life or the next life. Because what we're doing is we want to be at that party. That's where we want to be. When he comes back, we all want to be at that party. So do you manage people? Are you a business owner? I said business. Are you a business owner? Are you putting unnecessary stress on your employees? Are you not being truthful to them? Are you just telling them little half-truths, holding stuff back? Are you playing favorites at work? Do you have that brother or sister in Christ who you treat a little more different than that heathen that, you know, doesn't believe in Jesus? Because, you know, you're responsible for all your employees. Are you a Pharaoh or Caesar? Or are you like Paul, who grabbed Timothy and he trained them up, he led them, he taught them how to be Christ-like? Or are you like Moses, and can you hear the Lord calling you? And whether you feel him tugging, like, I'm the type of guy that God has to make it like blatantly obvious to me. Like, he has to push me through the door because I will second guess things. Do you hear him calling you? Do you feel him tugging at your heart? There are so many places to serve here at Waterdam and just in Washington County alone. You know, our doors are open, but this room is full. And there's going to be more people second service. Like, we are open for business, and we're doing God's work. And there's kids that need taught. The welcome team is doing a great job. I mean, there are things that people can definitely get involved with. So if you are feeling the Lord call you, maybe just put someone on your heart who you know that is, you know, struggling. Maybe you need to give them a call this week. Minister to them and know that God is on your side. Like, these things are not easy. Getting out of your comfort zone is not easy. Figuring out who took your cheese or who moved your cheese and in which direction you want to go is not easy. But God's with you. You have the Holy Spirit who lives inside you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You got this because he's got you. So the Bible is filled with flawed people. Everybody in the Bible is flawed except one person, and that's Jesus. And he's the one who picks us up, and he's the one who carries us. So today is, we're going to do communion today. If you've never done communion with us, the way that we do it is you'll have the cup, it's in layers. So you flip over, you tear off the first layer, and that is the bread. And you'll tear off the second layer, and that is the cup. And after I pray, the worship team will come up, and then Pastor Andy is going to lead us through communion. He'll pray for us, and then we'll all take communion together. We have a believer's communion. You know, we believe that if you're going to partake in the Lord's Supper, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's important. And you don't have to take a class. You don't have to say a prayer so many times. You don't have to do these things. What you have to do is repent for who you are and the things that you've done, and understand that you need a Savior. And that God left heaven, and he came down to earth in the form of a human being. His name was Jesus Christ, And he walked the earth, and he was tempted every way that we are tempted. And he was sinless. He never fell for any of them the temptations that we fall for. He never fell for one. He's perfect, spotless lamb. So when we take communion, understand that it's a time of reflection on what he did for us, and it's a time of self-reflection of where you are today. Because if you walked in the doors and you didn't proclaim that Jesus, you didn't repent and know who Jesus was, there's nothing stopping you from sitting here right now and clearing your heart and knowing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for the plan that you have for us. And we know that life is, you told us, it's not going to be easy. It was never meant to be easy. But you provide a way. You provide a way that today we might not always realize the things that are going on, why they're happening. And there's times when we doubt that we're doing the right thing, Lord. But your word, you talk about how you hold us in your hand and you will never let us go, Lord. You call us by name. And you hold us, and you hold us so dearly. So we thank you for that, Lord. We lift up this time to you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Moses and the man that he was, because he's so much like us, Lord. And we thank you for not sugarcoating anything. We thank you for our time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's rise and sit.
Hold up, sit down.
My Savior, but If the Lord asks us to do this sacrament in remembrance of him, of his death and his bloody sacrifice for the salvation of his church, then it seems likely that whenever we celebrate it, that he would want to be present. We remember that the focus of the Old Covenant was on the written word, but the focus of this New Covenant is on the living word. So to prevent us from partaking of the body and blood in an unworthy manner, let's pray. My Lord, we repent of all the sins that we have committed that have offended you all through the years. And we repent of the sins that we have committed in such a recent time. We are so sorry that we have displeased you in any way. And we are guilty of all unrighteousness, but what we are guilty most of is a sin against the first commandment, that we should have no gods before you. And in every one of our hearts, my God, we know that the God that we have placed before you is ourselves. Would you please help us to replace the first God and remove the God and gods that we have put before you. Forgive us, Lord, and then please prepare us so that we can be a part, that we can enjoy this wonderful sacrament that you have established so that we might remember what you have done for us in the past and what you intend to do for us when you return. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When he said, "Take and eat," we take him as our Lord and Savior. So take and eat. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Wine comes from the blood of the grape. redemption comes from the blood of the Lamb. Take and drink. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Amen.
Please rise and sing. Shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. Beyond all compare, and there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth, and I will fear no
to these troubles. storming through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. Every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me.
So when I sing through a mask, my lips vibrate, and I feel like I'm singing through a kazoo. It's weird. So, he never lets go, right? Everybody that he has in the palm of his hand, he tells us, you know, I got you, I got you. Nobody can take you out of my hands. And that is so comforting, especially when, you know, we go through stuff. We're always going to have stuff. But he's got us. He has us. And he will not let go. And that's so comforting because I'm so far from perfect. And I know that on a daily basis, like today when I'm running late and I got a million things going through my mind, and I was telling Pete this morning, I just want to take a breath and focus on God, you know? And what Andy said, we need to focus. He needs to be the focus of the communion. So thank you. We love you guys so much. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a great week. I love you. Bye-bye.